The Cairo Geniza were produced by Michaela Bernal and Miranda Hinckley, and it was a Nightjar production for BBC Radio 3, first broadcast last year.
Radio 3 is live in concert from Snape Maltings in Suffolk. As part of the Aldborough Festival, Christian Blackshaw plays sonatas by three towering revolutionaries of the piano. Mozart's Sonata No. 15 in F Major and Beethoven's Sonata No. 30, Opus 109, are partnered with Schubert's imposing C Minor Sonata, one of his final works for piano. Join Christian Blackshaw live in concert at the Aldborough Festival Tuesday evening at 7:30 here on BBC Radio 3, or listen in HD sound via the Radio 3 website.
Yes, we're in high-definition sound. We're also on digital radio and on 90 to 93 FM. This is BBC Radio 3. The time is 11 o'clock. It's time for World on 3. Here's Mary-Ann Kennedy.
Thanks very much, and welcome all to a couple of hours of global roaming with me, Mary-Ann Kennedy, and plenty to grab you by the ears on World on 3 tonight. The session tracks come from a wonderful Scottish guitarist with a very global outlook, Simon Thacker, exploring his passion for Indian music through his Svarakanti project. There are flavours of Italian tarantella and Danish oompa, and our epic Commonwealth Connection series continues in the run-up to the Games in Glasgow, reaching Uganda and the Caribbean sister islands of St Kitts and Nevis. But folks, sporting attentions this week are, of course, on Brazil and on tomorrow night's opening England game against Italy. So let's start out with a track from a collective of Brazilian stars, old and new, the Friends from Rio project, with the Far Out label sending music from Brazil out to the dance floors of London and well beyond, just for the World Cup. This is Masquinada, a Jorge Ben tune made famous the world over back in the 60s heyday of Bossa Nova by the legendary Sergio Mendes, and voted by the Brazilian edition of Rolling Stone as the fifth greatest Brazilian song of all time.
Bye. Donde me digas voy, donde quieras estoy. Eres la única que mueve mis sentidos, por eso te quiero. Y eres mi adoración, oye, tú eres mi sol. Cosita linda, tu sonrisa me transforma y me lleva al cielo.
Luis Fernando Fonseca, or just plain Fonseca, the Colombian king of tropical pop, or as it's known there, tropipop, mixing the African rhythms of the Colombian Caribbean coast with electronica and shiny pop flavours. The Latin Grammy winner and platinum seller is in London this week, coming, playing the O2 Shepherd's Bush Empire on Friday the 20th, when he'll surely be playing that, the opening track to his Illusion album, Eres Mi Sueño, You're My Dream. And I'm going to continue the Colombian connection by way of something of a tangent next. I was on the beautiful island of Aran at the weekend, where the folk festival there was celebrating its 20th outing. Amongst the musicians playing there were songwriter Finlay Napier and his Aran wife Gillian Frame. Finlay's spent the last while essentially on a kind of artistic apprenticeship, working with a highly regarded writer, Boo Hewardine, who was in the World on Three studio playing for Eddie Reader just last week. And Boo produced and co-wrote Finn's new solo album VIP, a collection of songs inspired by celebrity and the real stories behind some famous names. This is a song that really made me sit up and pay attention. It picks up on the story of Mexican world champion boxer Gabriel Ruelas, who knocked down his Colombian opponent Jimmy Garcia in his second defence of his super featherweight title with a punch that was sadly to end in Garcia's death, an outcome that was literally to haunt Ruelas the rest of his days, unable to fight another boxer without seeing Jimmy's face before him. This is sweet science, the sweet science of bruising, as boxing is sometimes known. ¶¶
No one else there saw it, just Gabriel as he fell. Jamie's ghost, the man he killed, as the keeper rang the bell. Flashback to Las Vegas, he promised to make someone pay. But what went down in the seventh round shouldn't have gone that way. The sweet science of bruise and money, casino lights, Gabriel and Jemmy touch gloves and start to fight. Family round his bedside, Jimmy's out, there is no change. They're pleasant on the outside, but Gabriel's to blame. It wasn't even the title they fought way down the bell. Gabriel didn't pull a punch, but he didn't mean to kill. He ignored the premonition, lit a candle, said a prayer. Boxer's face, the ghost of Jimmy's stare. Sweet science of bruise and many casino lights, Gabriel and Jimmy touch gloves and start to sneak. Start to fight.
Really quite wonderful. And continuing the ghostly train of thought, Like Wake Dirge from Lau's Martin Green and his latest album of ghost stories, Crow's Bones, a collaboration with singer Becky Unthank, better half Inga Thompson, and champion Swedish nickel harpa player Niklas Rosewall. It started life as a stage show with Opera North, and I hope we're not tempting fate with so much spookiness so close to midnight on a Friday the 13th. Before Martin was Findlay Napier, who's out on tour in a couple of weeks' time with Brooklyn country singer Rebecca Pronsky. Check out his website for dates. And with an eye to things Scottish, thinking on our Commonwealth connections, and with Simon Thacker coming up in session, it's a good time to point you in the direction of BBC at the Quay. It's a festival of live entertainment to celebrate the Commonwealth Games from the 19th of July to the 3rd of August. Loads of your favourite BBC shows, including World on Three with Lopa Kotari, live music and activities for all the family just outside BBC Scotland's building at Pacific Quay in Glasgow, down right on the banks of the River Clyde. You can find out more at bbc.co.uk/thequay, and on Twitter it's at @BBCTheQuay. You're listening to Marianne Kennedy and World on Three, and it's time for the first part of our session with Simon Thacker and his Svarakanti Ensemble, Japchit Kaur on vocals, violinist Jacqueline Shave, and tabla master Sarvar Sabri, who has a fabulous musical lineage stretching back 10 generations to the royal court of the Mughal Emperor Akbar. And with this intriguing blend of East and West, they started out with a beautiful song led by Japchit, a Punjabi tale of lovers never quite getting it together.
Thank you. the Scottish guitarist Simon Thacker's Sfaracanti Quartet there playing for us in session here on World on 3 in the lovely Maida Vale studios. Simon, I suppose you started out as a guitarist like many folk, just going down a classical route. Would that be right?
It was a little bit of an odd starting point. I had in primary school, the headmaster taught all the students the three chords that he knew, and I picked it up upside down because I'm left-handed. I had no idea why I did that. I just did it naturally, and he kind of shouted at me. So I never went back. I went to one lesson, and I was out playing football every day. Then the local plumber who played in our covers band, he got it restrung for me in the summer holidays where I went to high school, and then I started playing properly. I got a Jimi Hendrix Radio 1 tape at the library, and Hoochie Coochie Man was on, and immediately I just picked it up and started, you know, playing the riff. And I got classical lessons at school when I was getting private lessons, doing all the kind of rock stuff and AC/DC and, you know, that kind of thing.
So where did the fascination for Indian music in various shapes and forms, where did that come from?
Even before I played guitar, I was always a bit of a musical obsessive. I just collected CDs and just listened to music constantly. So when I started playing guitar, there were so many string instruments from around the world that I realised you could appropriate, you know, aspects from. It was actually a compilation from Nimbus, where it was Girija Devi, songs from Varanasi. That was a Hindustani, a really beautiful Hindustani singer. And that set me on the path, really. It just seemed like an oral portal to another world. I realised that it was this incredible music from, I didn't really understand it at that point, but this incredible music from another part of the world, using all the same raw materials of music, but in a completely different way from what I'd been used to. So it just seemed a new direction completely I just pursued.
And the guitar is something that seems to find its way happily into so many different cultures.
Well, the classical guitar, as I play it, is probably the most un-Indian instrument, you know, apart from piano maybe. Because in the nylon strings, it doesn't have that abrasive sound. It doesn't have the sort of kind of resonance. It's basically a late 19th century romantic aesthetic. It's a very beautiful, poetic sound. Whereas like sitar, for example, is very in-your-face, or sarangi, you know, all those sympathetic strings ringing on. It kind of gives this cosmic sheen, if you will. So that's actually good, because a limitation makes you search further for something else. And rather than appropriating something else, you actually do something completely different and find just another path, which is unique to you. So that's why I'm not that unhappy I started playing classical.
I suppose that there is something of the kind of, I hate using this phrase, but it's a shortcut, the DNA of even classical guitar does take in a very strong flavour of flamenco.
Absolutely.
And the gypsy influence, and that in itself traces its root back to very similar roots there.
Yeah. I mean, classical guitar has a very strong kind of Spanish romantic repertoire coming from piano. You know, Granados and Albéniz and all those composers. Through the 20th century, a lot of guys started to put in more flamenco influence. But, you know, you can't beat flamenco guitar for, you know, in its own form, because it's quite a different construction of the guitar from classical guitar. It's more wiry sounding. The strings are lower, so you can play faster, easier. So it's a different sound. So again, classical guitar, you've just got to kind of find your own path. Some of the Spanish music on guitar, on classical guitar, can be a little bit lacking in the sort of guts that flamenco has. It's got its own beauty, but it's more a different aesthetic again.
And you mentioned that it being songs and the voice that drew you in, first of all. And of course, you have a beautiful vocalist working with you in Sfaracanti here in the form of Japjit Kaur. Tell us just briefly about that first song that you sang, Mainteno Yadavanga.
That was originally a duet, actually, by two luminaries of the Punjabi folk scene, Surinder Kaur and Asa Singh Mastana. It's basically a tale of lovers missing each other, and the original is incredibly beautiful with mandolin and flute. But I've done my own little take on it.
And tell us about the other members then of the quartet.
Yeah, Japjit Kaur, incredible young Punjabi singer, born in India, but London based now. She's actually found a lot of success recently with, apart from Sfaracanti, with the play Nirbhaya, which dealt with the horrible Delhi rape case. It was an incredibly powerful, dramatic work, which has toured to around the world now, well, India and...
Yeah, it started out at the Edinburgh Fringe,
The Edinburgh Fringe,
and
premiered last year.
She's just back from India, which I believe was quite an intense experience, I'm sure.
Yeah, it was. And, you know, won all the awards going And then the Edinburgh Fringe, rightly so, it was an incredible piece of work. Jacqueline Shave, leader of Britain Sinfonia, amazing violinist who can play absolutely anything. Keep writing harder pieces and see if I can catch her out, but not happened yet. And Sarvar Sabri, probably the greatest tabla player in Europe. His father is a sarangi master, a very famous sarangi master, Sabri Khan. And so he comes from an incredible lineage as well. So it's an old-fashioned 70s supergroup.
Well, we're going to let this next piece be a bit of a showcase for Sarvar and yourself. Just tell me about this Savaranjali.
Savaranjali was the first piece that I wrote for us. It's a guitar and tabla duo, which the instruments have a lot of similarities, and the sound is made through contact of flesh on the instrument. That's a very important thing for the manipulation of the sound. So it's both very poetic, intimate instruments. And Savaranjali actually means tonal offerings. So it uses a lot of the rhythmic language of India, but merging that kind of Western mode with an Indian raga in my own way.
Well, let's listen to your tonal offerings then. This is Simon's Svarakanti and Savaranjali. Thank you. Faranjali, a very intense head-to-head between Simon Thacker and tabla player Sarvar Sabri as part of Svarakanti. And Simon will be playing the Edinburgh Fringe later this summer with his Music Beyond Boundaries show Ritmata, playing several dates in Summer Hall just off the Meadows. And amongst the guests playing with him there will be bassist Mario Caribe, who you'll maybe remember playing here in session earlier on this year with Siddiqui Djabati and Walter Strauss. There's more to come from Simon and Svarakanti. And our first Commonwealth destination is up in just a little while when we're headed for the Caribbean. But first, let's hear some material released earlier this year and some powerful female artists indeed. I'm going to start out with a compilation from Rough Guide dedicated to the powerhouse of African music, Mali, a country now on the radar of so many more people than just world music aficionados with its troubles in the north. But this is one of the beacons of hope for sure. From the southwest of Mali, Oumou Sangaré, the songbird of Wasulu, as she's known, with the song Iojeli, a song in praise of an old and wise woman, a griot of the 1960s, as Oumou says herself.
Tenen de minata kubareka. Yeah.
Some powerful female voices back to back there. Following on from Umu Sangare, you heard the redoubtable Sahrawi singer Aziza Brahim, long-time exile from her native Western Sahara. She's based in Barcelona now. And if that latest CD, Sutak, is naturally then a kind of Spanish and North African mix, the message is firmly centred on home. As with that song, inspired by the events of the Western Sahara Gedaim Izik protest camp, which Noam Chomsky suggested were the real start of the Arab Spring. Europe, north and south next, and the first setting is rural Sicily, the dances and songs of a community who move to the rhythms and seasons of farming and the countryside. The band is Folkabola, and their album, Jolla Pipiola, takes its name from a laid-back shepherd's dance. And this is the children's rhyme, Tirikitola, although the treatment is, I would say, very definitely that of the grown-ups having a good time.
Tirikitola, pani ratazo, con samuletto, casugno malato. Hai una famina, si tenu sonno, una di bulizza, castaio murenno. Ma se mi rune a to solo pignorno, mi passa la famina, si tenu sonno. Dizzi vannera portati ben da pamara voi versi lo scecco versi la tabacchiera e l'usa. Tirikitolla, paniratatu, con samuletto, casugno malato. Hai una famina, si tiene un sonno, una dibulizza, castaio murenno. Ma se mi runi a tasoro pignonno, mi passa la famina, si tiene un sonno. Tirikitolla, 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 tirikitolla.
We'll be right back.
Salsa Danes from Party Animals' Habba de Cook finale to Radio 3's WOMAD stage a couple of years ago, and back with a follow-up to the album they were brandishing back then. That was De Nemascarada, a tune learned from one of the band's mentors, box player Carl Scarup, given the kind of, well, if not Salsa Celtica, then certainly Salsa Danica treatment. The new album is called Café Punch and it's released by Go Danish Folk Music. And the band plan to be on tour in England towards the end of the year. This is Mary-Anne Kennedy and you're listening to World on Three. And since the beginning of the year, we've been taking a tour around all the countries in the British Commonwealth, meeting musicians, artists and sporting hopefuls, all keen to show us a side of their homeland's music and culture that's special to them, as we draw ever nearer to the Games in Glasgow next month. The main feature later on tonight comes from Uganda, but right now we're going to hear from a young man who hopes that, like the title of the song he's picked for the Caribbean islands of St. Kitts and Nevis, that he'll be an unstoppable force in this summer's 100-metre sprint. Jason Rogers is currently living and training in Canada, and he connects with home here with some soca music, a King Conrad song that I would lay money will be thumping through Jason's headphones as he lines up for the race.
My name is Jason Rogers. I'm into the sport of track and field. I am representing and from the island of St. Kitts and Nevis. My event is the 100 meters. My personal best is 10.01 seconds. And I'm looking forward to competing in the Commonwealth Games 2014. The music I've chosen, it's called Unstoppable Force by King Conrad, and I chose that song because it's a very popular song back home in St. Kitts, and it's very motivational for the citizens of St. Kitts and Nevis because it entitles Unstoppable Force, which means it's really referring to and talking about the force of the citizens that can't be stopped. Because it even has a part in the song saying, we small, but we talawa, which means we small, but we big. So that force cannot be stopped. Everyone home loved it. Representing St. Kitts at the Commonwealth Games means a lot to me because it's always a pleasure and an honor to represent my country, because St. Kitts is small, population of 45,000 people I think. We're still making it big, so to represent 45,000 people out of the whole Commonwealth, that's a huge accomplishment.
We can make it as long as we believe. And that is why for Cannibal, we jump in.
I think the people in St. Kitts would be following the Commonwealth Games because they take Commonwealth very seriously. Even the schools, the high schools and the primary schools, on Commonwealth Day, they would be marching through the streets of the island with flags, all the different Commonwealth countries' flags, and they're just marching through the streets with the flags just to show our Commonwealth pride. So St. Kitts takes Commonwealth very seriously. St. Kitts and Nevis. I train in Canada, and when I think about St. Kitts, I think about the sunshine, you know, the nice weather, the beaches. I could just walk 2 minutes to the beach and just relax in the sun, you know, and everything is just in small. I don't have to travel on a train, I don't have to travel for hours just to get something from the store, you know. I miss the people. The people are very nice, kind, everybody greeting you, and it's just love and peace in St. Kitts, and I love that.
Island small in size but big in stature for sure. Love and Peace from St. Kitts and Nevis. One of my favourite songs so far. Brilliant fun, and I could see that one go down a treat in Glasgow. There's more from the Commonwealth Connections to be found online at the World on Three pages on the Radio 3 website. Travel blogs, galleries, and of course all the features and heritage tracks downloadable for you to keep. And we love to hear from you about the places and the connections that are your particular favourites. Tweet at BBC Radio 3 with the hashtag R3Commonwealth. And we'll stick with the excitement of live events next with two songs, both from live concerts. First of all, from Calimera, Grecia, Salentina, right down in the heel of Italy, where groups like Gettonia celebrate, preserve and promote their Greco dialect, which is, as it sounds, an Italian dialect of Greek, which goes back to Byzantine times and possibly much, much earlier. Music of the sea and the land, and a real sense of being at the live gig as well, with this lovely album Kifri and this song Nina Nana. My baby is a beauty at noon and all day long. Thank you.
An epic project with music to match the scale of what it represents. 18 musicians from 5 of the countries through which the great River Nile flows. They got together in Aswan and Cairo at the beginning of last year to create this multicultural, multinational enterprise. And it's interesting that the evolution of the music was rather like the river itself, starting with individual sources and gradually joining up until the confluence of the whole ensemble hits the river at its broadest and most powerful. That particular song was called Omha, a composition from the Sudanese maestro Ahmed Said, playing a five-string lyre called Masankop. And the album of the live gigs is now available, released on its own label. But details of that and all the music in tonight's show you can, of course, find on the Radio 3 website if you're wanting to track it down. A perfect connection as well, then, for the next of our Commonwealth connections, as one of the countries included in the Nile Project crossed by the mighty river making its way out of Lake Victoria. Our next Commonwealth destination, then, is Uganda. And our main feature is set near Jinja, where the river heads north, and heading eastwards towards the Kenyan border to the remote and rural Bigwala village, where you can hear both folk music and that of some of the last surviving musicians of the Busoga royal courts, including Akadinda players playing a giant wooden xylophone built across a pit in the ground to get it to resonate, and a rare opportunity as well to hear gourd trumpets of Busoga, who've been named by UNESCO as a cultural heritage in need of urgent safeguarding. Meanwhile, in the leafy campus of Kyambogo University in Kampala, we also meet a bow harp player of Buganda, once a royal musician's role which doubled up as the role of the king's confidant and personal advisor.
My name is James Isabide, and I teach in the Department of Performing Arts, Arts and Social Sciences at Kyambogo University. So really, I should be called a lecturer, and I teach traditional music instrument playing. I teach the tuba fiddles, I teach xylophone playing, I teach drum rhythms for different dances of Uganda. And then I teach drama also. Village are Basoga people, and they speak a language called Lusoga. In this village is where I grew up. I have sweet memories of the village music that we used to hear when we were young, the drums that were played, and the xylophones that we played ourselves when we were little boys. This xylophone is laid on two banana stems that have papyrus cushioning for the slabs to rest on, and then separated with the sticks, as you see. But they also have to dig a pit which goes deeper towards those other big xylophones, as you can see, the huge slabs. So, you know, you have to act like a team. It's like a football team. Everybody has a role to play. The xylophone is such that when other players come in, they play a different thing from what you are playing. And your concentration has got to be on the part you are playing, fitting it very well into what the different players are playing, although they could also be disruptive to you. All the children are here. Some of these people should be cooking their food. It's about lunchtime and people are getting hungry, but nobody is going out. So music, first of all, invites people. The sound of a xylophone, the sound of a tuba fiddle is so pleasant to anybody. The village where we are now is typically people, not very rich people. Music speaks to their problems. They get new energy. They forget about the challenges that they are going through. Some of these children have lost their parents. Some of the parents here have got to refocus themselves, but they find themselves not able to do that. So when the music plays, they come and listen. The cassava hasn't been good this season, but it can be better next season. We don't have salt in the house, but we probably can find salt tomorrow.
We're now ready to record the ebigwala, the trumpets, and they are going to start with a song, Muwe Wobona Sava, which means give him or her when he or she requests. Mm-hmm.
The trumpets are a huge interest to me. Those trumpets are a royal instrument in the palace of the King of Busoga. They are used to welcome the king during his enthronement, so they usher in a new king. But if a king passes on, his body is escorted by trumpet players. Trumpets have a rich sound, and as a person who has studied music, apart from the royal significance, the tone of these gourds is amazing to me. And yet the simplicity of making them is laughable. They are just simple rustic gourds assembled, you know, and disassembled, because they are simple pieces, you know, and then they assemble something, and the sound is amazing. I first heard trumpet music when I was about 7 years. And at that time, the mouthpieces were not well made, the makers of those trumpets. So every time somebody played the trumpets, they would have their lips cut and they are bleeding and things. So I was scared to even touch the instruments. And many of us thought they are played by witches. And yet we loved the music. At the moment, there is only one of those old-time players of the trumpet that I know that can move and play. So we wrote a proposal to UNESCO, which, interestingly, was accepted by UNESCO. So at the moment, we are in a stage of encouraging our government and UNESCO to finance us so that we can encourage villagers to grow the gourds, teach the young people, and probably even encourage teachers to teach the trumpets to the children, so that one, the kingdom of Busoga will still have trumpet music ushering in a new king now and in the future, and also say good farewell to any dead kings, and have this music tradition survive. So we are happy we have progress done. Now we have some youths playing, like you have just heard and seen some of these young people are learning at a fast rate. So there is a basic achievement, but we still hope to do much more. Buganda was formed out of different kingdoms. So there is Buganda Kingdom, but we also have Busoga Kingdom. And the Busoga Kingdom is special because it is an island, kind of, right in the middle of Uganda. And that's why the King of Busoga is called Kyavazinga, because in Lusoga, an island is a Chizinga. But the king of Buganda is called Kabaka. The kingdom of Lusoga, where we have this Ebigwala trumpet, and we have this pit xylophone, and on the other side, you had the Nanga of the king of Buganda. You've had the Amadinda and other instruments, ensemble, music of Buganda.
There was once, I'll tell you, once a certain big boy in the palace loved a wife of his junior. So the junior was complaining that, you big boy, you've gone far beyond. You've touched where you're not supposed to touch. It's my wife. But the Baganda normally hide everything. So you have to be careful as you listen to the words. You'll get the message.
Wandia Kenya mata balofe, so no wandia Kenya mata balofe, buli omusango gwe nyama tegugwa mafe, kundia Kenya maruganda mochi, kitange ngondi de Kenya mata bala toda, sebo wandia Kenya mankubusa, buza nakatanza, obuza nze, obuza ono, obuza ono, buza nakatanza, wenda bamu kwenda ndabye kabunga, wenda bamu gato ndabye nalinya, daba laba 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 nakatanza, omukuru laba buza nakatanza, nechenkubulira gwe buza miriyeri. Laba laba, boza na boza. Wadia Kenya mata bala nofang. Watu musango kwenye mate kugwa mafe. Chiche chinyama chindika, chikwate noruma. Olongo nide Kenya maruganda mochi. Watu okundia Kenya mata bala toda nakatanza. Boza nse, obozo no, obozo no, boza nakatanza.
Can you remember what the king of Buganda looked like?
Kabaka yo mumanyi bulungi nyo.
I know very, very well the way he used it to look like.
Kubanga muyantwalira yo nga.
When I was taken there as a boy, there was a TV in the palace, and it was, we the children were allowed to go and watch the TV
sitting room
in his sitting room. Because of that, all of us who were children could sit right next to him very closely, like we were basking on a fire. He was a man that had a very deep voice, but could speak softly.
Era omanya twamwagala nnyo nga twamulaba nnyo oyo kati.
We loved the king so much. And even the current king of Buganda now, Ronald Mutebi, was younger than us, but he was also studying at King's College,
Buddo Junior School,
at the time when I was in the palace.
Era nga Kabaka oli tata we Mutesa II.
And his father, at the time when I was in the palace, was Mutesa II. He wanted him to play with us who were commoners very much. So he insisted that him, the prince, should play football with us
in the palace. He wanted him to associate with us who were not of royal family very much. And even for food, he wanted him to feed with us, the children who were not royal blood, so that he shares with us and lives with us most of the time.
This song is about a man who had grown a lot of cotton. The following year there was a drought. He didn't harvest enough. And you know the characteristics of a man who has money, spoils young girls. So he cried a lot because he lost friends. Nobody could come to him when he was poor. But when he had money, people came to him a lot. And this time he cried a lot because of drought. He was blaming God. Baralonya wauke wake anyani yela ba anyahi wuna ba baralonyo hey imwani chuti mraiti baluba manako imwa okaro ujonu nuri otipa ma kobe winba unity da walking out team eriko miya wobini imwani chuti mraiti baluba manako imwa okaro ujonu nuri otichente yela ba Anya hai wuna ba, anya ni yela ba, bera nya halong. Kobi wi, abila bil bar bera nya halong. Abila bil bar bera nya halong, ke wa ke, anya ni yela ba. Johnny peta wuna tambala te tenge. He peta wuna tambala te tenge. He peta wuna tambala te tenge. Yela ba, ah, anyani yela ba. You see this year, God, what have you done to me? Last year I had money. Friends were like flies around me. But this time, you have sent away people from me. Let me hope next year will be like this year. I will have a lot, and I will bring back my friends. You know, people who are rich spoiling the young girls so much. This man spoiled many young girls in the village. The daughter of Ben is spoiled. Abila Beni Baro Beranya Halo. Abila Beni Baro Beranya Halo. Ke wake. Ojono ke wake. Anya ni yela ba. Anya he una ba.
The moral of the story there being planning and forethought, I suppose. Very appropriate, just like all the sportswomen and men heading for Glasgow this summer. Thanks to all the folk in Uganda who helped with that Commonwealth connection and to Lindsay Pell, the intrepid producer. All the connections, as I said earlier, you can download for keeps and check out other features like Lindsay's and the other producers' blogs from right across the Commonwealth during their travels. And do let us know which features and songs particularly resonate with you. Share your own Commonwealth connection. Tweet us at BBC Radio 3 with the R3 Commonwealth hashtag. You're listening to World on 3 with me, Marianne Kennedy. And let's return to tonight's session with guitarist Simon Thacker and his group Sfarakanti. Jacqueline Shave on violin, Sarvar Sabri on tabla, and leading this Punjabi song calling for respect for women, Japjit Kaur on vocals.
चंदरिया चमका मैं कच्चे दे गला सवारी
Hanumarda Chandaria Chamka from the full quartet of Svarakanti, Simon Thacker's quartet, playing in session for us here in World on Three tonight. Tell me, Simon, about this song. I think one chance at reading that title is enough for me. Explain it for us.
It was originally by Narinder Biba, another great Punjabi singer, not quite as famous as Surinder Kaur, who was the most famous Punjabi singer, but an incredible singer after all. This one that you'll hear the original on YouTube, and this is really transformed. I've changed it quite a lot. The original melody is unchanged, but what's around it is totally different. So there's an introduction composed and a refrain and all the rest of it. So listeners should go and check out the original too. The lyrics are quite non-PC. The singer is saying, you know, why do you break my bangles and hit me so? And it's about domestic abuse and saying the old matchmaker, when she put us together, she didn't realise your true character. So it's a kind of a message to treat women properly and with the right respect.
Delving into traditions where the expression of the musician, the performer, the singer is really important, and improvisation and ornamentation, how much do you make use of that, and how much do you control what actually comes out in the pieces that Svarakanti perform?
It's a very fine balance of knowing how to harness the talents of each person. Everyone's got their own strengths. So with Indian music, you don't want to over-notate for Indian performers, but sometimes in some pieces you have to do that. There's one piece in particular you're going to hear, Dumaketu, that is quite a heavy piece in terms of lots of rhythms that the tabla player Sarvar Sabri has to memorise. There's no other way to do it. But there's a lot of spontaneity as well, so you're harnessing his gift for improvisation, and we can improvise as well at certain points. There's open sections and there's a lot of interaction. So
there's a lot of... It's almost like a conversation. It really is like a conversation between the musicians.
Absolutely. You're trying to harness that potential for spontaneous interaction and the excitement of performance.
When you first drew together this particular quartet, what was the attraction for the other members? Because we know what your inspirations are, but what was drawing them into this particular musical experiment?
I think there are not so many ensembles around that really, truly harness the essence of Indian music in different contexts. A lot of people, what they do is they take out all the hard parts that each other doesn't understand from each culture. We'll say, you know, I'll take out all that complicated rhythmic stuff and I'll take out all these chords. They meet in the middle and it's a kind of confusion, if you know what I mean, rather than a fusion. So what my concept...
But that's often the case with many collaborations.
Absolutely.
Sometimes you look at the ingredients and you think, wow, that should be some combination. But whether it's time or just being able to musically talk to each other, sometimes you are coming a way back before stripping things back before you can find that common ground that can allow things to move forward.
Absolutely. So my concept is to, you know, immerse myself in your culture and you do the same with mine, and we'll meet at the extremities and we'll take it even further and we'll invent something completely new, and this will be something unique to us and we'll be pursuing it. It's a real journey to take it even further every time.
Have you reached the point where Japjit or Sarvar or Jackie have said no, that doesn't work, you can't go there, or that's breaking the rules, or it just doesn't sit right?
No, I think I've got a deep enough understanding of you know, each of the genres that I'm using that that's not been an issue so far. I think I really feel like I've barely even scratched the surface of what the potential for my work in this direction is.
You also commission music from composers out with the quartet. Tell us what it's like to be responding to people from the outside and their idea of what Svarakanti is about.
Well, that was the big deal with Rakshasa. That was the central concept, was different perspectives from around the world. We had Terry Riley, the great minimalist composer, pioneer.
So this was...
The Rakshasa CD of 2013, which got 50 great reviews from around the world, and, you know, it was incredibly successful for us. That really kind of established us as the kind of forefront of Indian Western music. And Nigel Osborne, a great Scottish composer, and Shirish Kordi, the fantastic Indian composer based in Boston. The difference with the next album, which will be out next year, is going to be that I'll be composing the whole thing. But rather than this different perspectives idea, I'll be using different forms and different traditions from India, because obviously with hundreds of languages, you can, you know, everyone can guess how many different cultures there are within India. It's so diverse. So some of the mystical traditions I'll be using, and it'll be wilder, slower, more beautiful, more aggressive, it'll just be taking everything even further, even wilder.
Can't wait to hear that. But for the moment, what we are going to hear is the piece that you mentioned just a little while back there, Dumaketu. So just remind us where this comes from.
Dumaketu means great comet or shooting star. So that kind of neatly summed up the journey of this piece. There's a distinct Spanish flavour about the mode that I've used. It's also one of the most common ragas by Ravi. And again, lots of interaction, a lot of rhythmic ideas from the Carnatic music system this time. Again, as you said, a big conversation that builds up to a big guitar and tabla cadenza before we all come back in again.
Simon, thank you very much.
Pleasure.
Dumaketu, the great shooting star, to round off Svarakanti's session for World on 3. And remember that another of Simon's cross-cultural projects, Ritmata, will be in residence at the Summer Hall Fringe venue for a large portion of the Edinburgh Festival in August. You're listening to Mary-Anne Kennedy and World on 3. And I'm going to take the chance to play, before the final track, an album I meant to play last time out but ran out of time for. An intriguing combination of words from Haitian poet, painter, novelist, playwright and actor Frank Etienne, and music from Scottish songwriter Mark Mulholland, based these days in Port-au-Prince. The words are from Frank Etienne's rap jazz Diary of a Pariah. I'm Mary-Anne Kennedy. You've been listening to World on 3, and we're going to return to Glasgow next week with some very special guests, Martin and Eliza Carthy, out on tour with their father and daughter album, The Moral of the Elephant, and joining us live ahead of their appearance at the Beverley Folk Festival, where they'll be celebrating the fab news just announced. You heard it here first, that Eliza is joining Dad as an MBE in the Queen's Birthday Honours Lists. Congratulations, Eliza. So away and put the champagne on ice, and for what promises to be a session and a half, a last song from them tonight, a traditional Cumbrian song with just a few words on, as Eliza says, where they thought they couldn't quite match the traditional Cumbrian sounds. Blackwell, Merry Night. Good night.
Hey-ya, hey-ya. Beia de chiré, beia, beia, beia gangolé, beia, beia, beia de chalboré, beia, beia, beia de constombré, beia, beia. Fin de la rue.
Such a merry night, we had at Blackwell. The sound of the fiddle still rings in my ear. Oh, well clipped and healed were the lads and the lasses, and many a lively young lassie was there. The better sort they sat snug in the parlour. In the pantry the sweethearts they whispered so soft. The dancers they kicked up a dust in the kitchen, and Lanta the card player sat in the loft. The clogger from Dorston's a famous top hero, and beats all the player folk 20 to 1. He stamped with his foot and he shouted and roistered till the sweat it ran off of his very chin end. Then he held up a hand like the spout of a teapot, and danced across the buckle and leather to patch. When they cried, Bonnie barely leapt up to the ceiling, kept snapping his thumbs for a bit of a fratch. The heavenly lads were well used to deep drinking, and cocking the doors to those never were beat. The Buckerman chaps are right famous at courting, their kisses just sound like the latch of a gate. The lasses of Blackwell are so many angels, the comers day of beauty's all glory and fun. God help the poor fellow that squints at them dancing, he'll steal away heartless as sure as a gun. The backer was strong and the ale it was lively, and many a one emptied a quart like a churn. Daft Fred in the nook like a half-frosted devil, he told smutty stories and made them all grin. Now one sang Tom Linton and another Dick Walters, the farmers all bragged at their fillies and foals, with jibing and joking and shaking and laughing, till some thought it time to set off to the polls. Struck 11, the platter was brought in with white bread and brown. The knife it was sharp, the great cheese was a topper, and lumps big as lapstones our lads gobbled down. The trim jolly landlady cried do not be shy. In God's name, step forward now, welcome and eat. Our goods were well filled, we paid up for blind Jenny, and next paid the shot on a great pewter plate. Now full to the throttle with headaches and heartaches, some crept to the clock case instead of the door, and sleeping and snoring to place of their roaring, and one top another they laid on the floor. The last of December gone long we'll remember, at 5 in the morning, 1803. Here's health and success to the brain Johnny Dawes, and many such meetings may we live to see.
Hello and welcome from me, Jonathan Swain. This is Through the Night here on BBC Radio 3. Music in Paradise is the name of a music festival in Poland, and that's where we're headed for this opening hour and a half or so. It's a concert from the 2013 festival, given in the church in the town of Paradis, a pearl of Baroque architecture, the church itself in Western Poland. And for a good many, Bach is the composer above all whose music should be heard in Paradise. The performers here, Les Ambassadeurs, directed by Alexei Kosenko, in a selection of arias and duets from various Bach cantatas, plus a Bach concerto. And this opening pair of pieces brings an aria from Cantata No. 74, and first of all, hear the Sinfonia from Cantata No. 209.